Come on up here, Brother Max. This is Brother Max Grizzard and his wife, Sherry, and their fourth child. Is that right? Wow. Four of seven. So I had to count there for a minute. I was thinking about the oldest girls and then the oldest boy and then, of course, Wesley. Max is a dear friend of ours. Been in ministry, co-labored in ministry with him for a lot of years. Don't know how many years. Lots of years. Served on the same team. Same church staff, so just a dear friend, probably some of the best friends we've ever had in ministry, and we're just glad that he's here today. And he has, their family's been in fully, they raise their own support in ministry, and I'll let him tell you all about that today. But you guys welcome Brother Max Grizzard to Grant First Baptist Church this morning. Amen.
Couldn't keep that thing on my ear because Chuck's ears are bigger than mine, so I'm going to just stand here, I guess, most of the time, which if I move, I think you can probably hear me, but appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and share, and it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a beautiful day if you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan.
Amen.
That was a laborious game just to watch. Brother Chuck and I met 2005, if I remember correctly, and he's an Alabama fan, I'm an Auburn fan, but that's okay. But I said to him a while back, this thought came to me, and you know, if we gave as much energy and as much money and time to God as we do to...
I'm so sorry. I forget this every week. We have children's church, by the way. Children's church. And then I'm going to let Brother Max get right up right there. Sometimes I get tunnel vision in my brain, so I apologize.
Yeah, Miss Kelly's not here to keep him straight, which is a full-time job, by the way. If we give as much time and energy and money as we give to our favorite team, we give it to the Lord, I think our society would be quite different.
Amen.
Just a thought, something to think about. I appreciate the opportunity to come. The Lord's blessed us, seven children, five grandchildren. One will be here in January. But the Lord's allowed us to be missionaries with Ponderosa Student Ministries now for the last 19 years. Been in ministry 32 years. Did serve with Brother Chuck at Cross Point in Gadsden. First met, we were starting our Bible classes there in Fife where he was pastoring, and he taught and worked in our Bible classes, and I'll say more about that shortly. But Lottie Moon, I was reading a little bit about Lottie Moon. She served as a missionary for almost 40 years. 40 years in northern China. Actually followed her younger sister to China as a missionary. Here's a quote. Why should we not do something that will prove that we are really in earnest in claiming to be followers of Him who, though He was rich, for our sake He became poor? She said, I'm holding on after more than 11 years of work at considerable risk of permanent injury to health. Yet I must not leave until others are here to take over the work. Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. They must live the greater part of the time in Chinese houses, in the closest contact with people. They will be alone in the interior and will need to be strong and courageous. If the joy of the Lord be their strength, the blessedness of the work will more than compensate for its hardships. Let them come rejoicing to suffer for the sake that our Lord and Master, who freely gave His life for them. You know, Lottie Moon was from Virginia, and she actually taught over in Georgia, not far from here. But she served in northern China for almost 40 years of her life. Quite an example for not just Southern Baptists, for anybody to serve and be faithful to God. You know, in our country, we have very little suffering, right? And to be in a foreign country like she was, quite a ministry. So I encourage you to give. I just appreciate that we can be here and share. We, the ministry that we're with, Children's Bible Ministry, started in 1935 down in Lakeland, Florida. Does anybody here remember the name W.A. Hunt? Does anybody remember that name? Because W.A. Hunt, he taught in the schools in Jackson and DeKalb County starting in 1935 to 1968 in the public schools. So I thought somebody might possibly have been in some of his schools. But we're just carrying on his ministry. He started teaching, as I said, going into schools and teaching Bible. And then in 1947, he came on with our ministry, Children's Bible Ministry. Children's Bible Ministry started, as I said, in Lakeland, Florida, moved up the East Coast, and now I think we're in roughly 10 states, four or five countries. Our ministry had the opportunity to reach over 75,000, or minister to 75,000 people last year, as we learned in our conference we had back on Labor Day. And our ministry, Ponderosa Student Ministries, is just one of those ministries under the umbrella of Children's Bible Ministries. We're actually called Children's Bible Ministries of North Alabama. We're located in Mentone. If you've ever been to Mentone, it's a beautiful place there. It's about eight camps there. And we're just one of those, Ponderosa Bible Camp. We do camping during the summer for elementary kids, high school, middle school. We also do retreats during the year, rent our facility out to groups to use. That's one of our ministries that we do. The other is correspondence Bible lessons. We send out Bible lessons in the mail. And then the other main ministry we do is what we call classes, or release time Bible education. Students in America can be released 1 to 5 hours a week, go to an off-campus location for Bible instruction. That was made legal in 1952 by the Supreme Court. And we in DeKalb County have the opportunity in all 11 county schools take the students off-campus with their parents' permission. Second through sixth grade is the students that we work with, once a week, and teach them the Bible. We've been doing that since 2002. Since I've been involved with the ministry, it goes back, way back, as I said, to 1935, really, but since 2002 on a weekly basis. And we have about 65 volunteers that work with us across the county in all those schools. And they bring the kids over during their PE class, teach them God's Word. It's character-based. Teach character qualities such as obedience, compassion, courage. We also have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And we've seen since 2002, I think, over 670 students saved since 2002. In the opportunity we've had to give them, teach them God's Word, and that's a God thing. It's God's done it, and He continues to do it. We're right now kind of in the works of trying to get something started in Etowah County. I've had a couple of conversations with superintendents and trying to get some momentum going there. So looking forward to what God's going to do with Etowah County. And, of course, we always open to help wherever we can to see this ministry expand. This quote here: more than 92% of the 53 million public school children are receiving no biblical or moral instruction. Did you catch that? 92% of the 53 million public school children are receiving no biblical or moral instruction. And half of these students have no regular contact with a local church, and have never heard an adult personally read a single verse of Scripture to them. I can attest to, in DeKalb County, 48% of our students last year, we had 638 enrolled, 48% were unchurched. That's in right here in Alabama. We taught the Bible in schools for almost four centuries. 1962-63, Bible prayer was taken out. 1980, the Ten Commandments. You wonder why we're in the shape we're in? You cannot tell God, and I say this reverently, but you cannot tell God to go to hell and expect things to be right in our society, or your family, or our schools. But that's what we've done in our country. And He will not stand for that. He is a holy God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. But He will not. He will not share His glory with anybody. He will get it one way or the other. And we as God's people, of all people, should give Him that. My life verse, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all the glory of God. The public school, a lot of great folks in the public school that teach and labor week in and week out. Live, share when they can. And it's a shame in America. Founded. Are we a Christian nation? I wonder sometimes, but I believe our founding was on biblical principles. And I think we have gotten away from that. And we, what do we have? What we're seeing today. We have an opportunity through release time and other ways. After school, there's lots of after school programs. There's before school. I've spoken a couple of times at one of the schools there in Gadsden to their first priority, which is before school, to elementary kids and to high school kids. There's a hunger there in America. You know, It's a shame that we are in the shape we're in, but we have opportunities. And so, you know, I would just say to you, if you would like to help financially pray, we're faith supportive missionaries. We raise our own support. I have some material down here, ways that you can pray, give, that kind of thing. If you'd like to talk with me afterward, I would appreciate that. Would love to share more of what God's doing. But I also wanted to go to God's Word this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And share. I guess this clock up here, is this right? Okay. It says 10:26, but I don't know if it's moving or not. I hadn't even paid much attention to it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. But hope this will be an encouragement to you. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, excuse me, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not yet ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants to whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that that we would hear you this morning. And God, I pray that you would change us, you would encourage us, you would send us out to be the salt and light that you say that we are in this dark world. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse here in verse 6 is our verse that we I try to stress to our volunteers. praise time. We have some classes where, especially when you get up into the upper grades, fifth and sixth grade, you may have just one student come to your class. And our teachers, they teach that one student. Verse 6, I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. What are you living for today? Is a question that I would hope you would ponder. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, you know, what am I living for? What am I really living for? What's important in life? Or am I much like these Corinthians, as Paul dealt with the Corinthians for on many issues? An immature, oftentimes, as he said right there, infants in Christ. I've taught you, I've preached, I've labored, and it seems like you're not getting it. You know, sometimes I wonder if I get it, you know. And when I get up to speak or preach, it's for me. It's, God, what are you trying to say to me? But really, what is important? And in this passage here, there were divisions, there were issues in the church as we have in our day. Don't know about this specific church, but in our day, we do. And they were squabbling over, and you even go back into chapters 1 there and even 2, they were squabbling over, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of, even some said I'm of Cephas, I'm of Jesus, even. And they were squabbling over this, and Paul, you know, comes along, and him being the apostle Paul that wrote half the New Testament, over half the New Testament, he said, look, you know, Paul, Apollos, we're nothing. We're just servants to whom you believe. You know, God uses each and every one of us in our spheres of influences wherever we're at. I heard Brother Chuck preach that for almost 4 or almost 3 years at Cross Point, trying to help the people understand wherever God's placed you in your sphere of influence, God will use you as you plant the seed of the Word of God and you come along and water that seed. You know, we learn what? We learn by repetition, right? And you're reminded of it, and it's encouraged in you. Is that what you and I are doing in our everyday life? Because we're all, you know, we can all say we're missionaries. Because God's placed us in different places and around people that really only we're going to be able to reach. You know, so planting and watered, Paul said, you know, look, I am, and Apollos, he come along, he helped the church here, he preached, he taught, and just added to what Paul had done. Servants, this word servant is a menial worker, a table waiter, a busboy. If you go to the restaurant after we leave here, you'll probably see these folks. Somebody comes, cleans the table up, or somebody serves you. That's what Paul was talking about. This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. You know, I think sometimes we come into church or we come into the ministry, you know, with our agenda, with who we are and what I got to bring to the table. You know, really, we don't have anything. Matter of fact, we didn't have anything to bring to this thing we call salvation. I think it was Jonathan Edwards said, the only thing we have to bring to salvation is our sin. You know, and it's all of Him. It's all of Him. And He, through His grace, His unmerited favor, He looks down and chooses, the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, and bestows His grace and mercy on us, something that we don't deserve, and transforms us. And it's based on what He did. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, I think I got that right. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've never repented of your sins, put your faith in Christ, You're in a hopeless situation. One that you cannot get out of. You can't. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it. Our salvation from our sin is based on what Christ did, not what we do or can do. And He took our sin and was treated as a sinner so I might be treated and might be a righteous person before God. That blows my mind. That He would come to me, and that's the message that Paul says we're planting the seed for that. We do get a part in it. We get to be that missionary. We get to be that light. We get to be. We live in a dark world. 2 Timothy says in the last days there'll be difficult days. And you read that list there. That's the days we're living in. You know what? You see it every day. And we get the opportunity to be the salt and the light in that darkness. As much like what Lottie Moon did in northern China. And China's a communist country. I don't know what it was back then, years ago in the 1800s, but it was rough. And it's rougher probably even today. And the church is thriving there. We get the opportunity to walk into the darkness and be light. And you know, I said this a lot. We have no excuse to not live for Christ. You ever thought about that? We have no excuse whatsoever. We have the God of the universe living inside of us. And we have the Word of God that will stand forever. Our last shirts we did for our volunteers says, the Word of our God will stand forever. This Word. The very thing that we get to study and read and share will happen the way God said it will happen. And the Holy Spirit, God that empowers this Word through us, we have no excuse not to walk with God and live for Him and reach this world and do our part, planting, watering. And if you read the last part of that verse, God causes the growth. I tell our volunteers, just plant it, just water it, and leave the rest to God. Because He will do His part. He will build His church. Now, we may build these local bodies, but the church, universal, only God builds. Draws His people to Himself. No man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. John 6 says. He does that. He'll do that. He'll do His part. But we get the privilege of sharing this good news, this gospel. And Paul said, look, you know, I love this quote. It's amazing what can be accomplished when nobody cares who gets the credit. John Wooden, famous coach, UCLA, and I think one of our presidents, Dwight Eisenhower, maybe, that made that quote famous. But you know that's true? If we come into the church every week and say, look, it ain't about me. It's not about my agenda. I just want to be a menial table waiter for God to use me to do whatever He wants to do. Because if you don't let Him use you, He'll use somebody else. I mean, He will. He'll do that. So He said, no, neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Yeah, there are some that labor more than others. That's true. We always say it in the church, in the ministry, you know, what, 10% or 20% of the people do 80% of the work? Is that the way it works? Something like that, you know? And it's like, man, I'm just tired. So I wish somebody else would help. Lottie Moon felt the same way. She was not going to leave until people came to labor. You know, and oftentimes in release time, I pray, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. We need some volunteers at this place or that place to teach these children. And God, He supplies. He supplies. But I just encourage you here, don't think too highly of yourself, but think highly of Him. This verse came to mind, last night. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was kind of an interesting fella. He goat's hair, whatever, ate locusts and wild honey, and he's out in the desert, and he's a wild man. God says, nobody greater. John the Baptist, if he walked in here, we'd probably, who's that guy? Who's that strange fella? And God said, nobody greater than John the Baptist. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10-11, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's a good attitude for all of us to have. It's like, I'm just what I am by the grace of God. Because my sin, and I say this, I spoke in Celebrate Recovery at our church a couple of weeks back, and I said, some of you have gone further down the road in some sins than I have. Typically, folks that have drug issues, alcohol and that kind of thing, and never drank, did any drugs myself, and everything. But what I said was, look, we're all born with a sin nature, deserving of eternal hell and punishment. And only God can take care of that. And He does, and He will. I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. St. Paul that spoke there in chapter 3. We're just God's table waiters, all of us. I always say it, no celebrities in the Christian life. We make celebrities, but no celebrities. We all have giftedness. We all have things that how God has designed us and shaped us to do certain things. And if we can be content to live within that and let God use us, as we all come together, the what God says in Romans 12 about the body, they're all members, and those members come together one function to make a difference in the kingdom and advance the kingdom. That metaphor of the body. Are you planting and watering and leaving the rest to God? What have you done for Christ today? Have you planted the truth of the Word of God in somebody's life? Have you watered the truth that has already been planted? Because when it's all said and done, all of us, when it's all said and done, and we're in heaven, what we sent on ahead is the only thing that matters. Don't take anything with you, as you know. It's what we sent on ahead. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So I encourage you, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This word steadfast, literally first being seated, being firmly situated. Immovable carries the same basic idea, but with more intensity. Denotes being totally immovable and motionless. For God, for His Word. And if you don't think we need that in our day, we're in an all-out war in our day. I could mention several things there, but I won't go there. But don't be moved away from the will of God. Gordon Clark said, therefore we should mortify emotion, be steadfast, unchangeable, not erratic, not scatterbrained, easily discouraged, and should multiply our good works in the knowledge of what the Lord will make them profitable. And I like this from John MacArthur. Our money, our time, our energy, our talents, our gifts, our bodies, our minds, our spirits should be invested in nothing that does not in some way contribute to the work of the Lord. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? our money, our time, our energy kind of goes back to what I said at the very beginning. Talents, gifts, bodies, minds, spirits should be invested in nothing that does not in some way contribute to the work of the Lord. So missions, I encourage you. If you've never been on a mission trip, I encourage you to go. Find some group out there and go. In the United States, grew up doing that in the church and then been able to go some overseas stuff, take some of my kids. I hadn't seen anything, I don't think, in all of the years of ministry that changes people more than going to the mission field, even if it's just local missions. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I encourage you to date good works. That's what we're supposed to do. They're prepared ahead of time for us. And I love this quote by Oswald Chambers. "There is only one relationship that really matters, and that is your personal relationship to your personal Redeemer and Lord. If you maintain that at all cost, letting everything else go, God will fulfill His purpose through your life. One individual life may be of priceless value to God's purpose, and yours may be that life." It only takes one person. You know, think of Lottie Moon. I mean, she's honored all over the world for her selfless sacrifice, not perfect individual who was willing to go when God said go. So I encourage you today. I don't know if you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved, to come and throw yourself at the mercy of God and say, "I confess I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. Give me your righteousness that I may be right with you." And maybe it's just a matter of, rearranging priorities. I don't know. What God may be saying to you today. I just appreciate the opportunity to share and encourage thoroughly. I probably just live in the ministry to encourage the faith of others, to keep going, don't give up. It's all worth it. It will be, I assure you. And it is. Eternal life is eternal life, but eternal life is eternal life here as well as eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these folks. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Paul, for Apollos, for John the Baptist, for, as you say in Hebrews, it was this great cloud of witnesses. These folks that went before us in the faith. They went before us and they showed us that it could be done, that we could walk this walk of faith. And we get to be encouraged with them. Cloud of witnesses to those coming behind us, or those that are with us right now that are looking at our life, that can say, they're walking the walk of faith. They're walking for God. They're serving Him. They're giving everything they have to Him. I pray that's be the folks that we would be, that we would be faithful, and one day hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're going to do through this church, these folks here. I just thank you for what you have done in children's lives all over. As we say in our ministry, to win a child, win a life. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, stand with us and sing. And let me tell you this quick story, Max. He didn't share, but go ahead and stand. The other day he was telling me a story. This man has been, he's such a resource. For me, he's shared his research with me. I preached for almost 4 years, and we discussed that before Sunday, and he would help me in many, many, many ways, and often would share some of his insights, and I'm just so blessed to call him my friend. But the other day, their former pastor's wife, Miss Dale, right? She called you, or she communicated with you in some way. And there was a young lady on the campus at Northeast Alabama Community College in Rainsville. It's a community college up that way. And she was teaching a Bible study on campus, and there was a Hispanic young woman that came to faith in Christ through this young girl's influence and sharing the word. And this girl's foundation goes all the way back to release time. When she came out of school, came to Bible study out of school, and Miss Dale was just encouraging, you know, there's the classic example of how that one person planted, one person watered, but God gave the increase of this young lady. And it continued to increase as she's a young adult. And who knows where that's going to go? Who knows how that's going to end? I mean, that's what we say about our shoeboxes. If one kid gets Jesus out of that shoebox, he may take or she may take that same message back to a group of people that have never heard. And what a blessing that's going to be. And that's what our God does. Amen? Amen. That's what he does with all that. And I'm thankful for Brother Max as he reminds me often. This is a man that's a servant. He has a servant heart. I've watched him for years. He never has to be in the front. He never has to be the one seen. When we go on trips and projects, everybody else is off doing their thing and he's cleaning the table. He's waiting behind others to make sure that everything's back in place. He's a man with a servant heart, and I just appreciate him so much today, sharing God's word, preaching the truth, and telling you about what it means to be a believer, number one, but what it means to give your life to serve the Lord Jesus all of your days. And so if you'd like more information about that ministry called Bible Release Time and how it's touching DeKalb County and hopefully beyond, I mean, of course, all in 10 different states and other countries, if you'd like information about that, just so you can know how to pray for them. But if God is leading you to, they raise all their own support. Kelly and I support them. They raise all their own support. No gift is too big or too small. Anything that you would consider, even if it's on a monthly basis, it's how that happens for them. People give on a recurring basis and they raise all their own support, and God has been faithful for so many years. And so you just, if you want information about that, all you got to do is pick that up. You can take and do with it whatever you want to do. But what about today? Sing with us this morning.